The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies from the 80s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
Hey, blockheads, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, your favorite movie podcast that's counting down the top grossing movies of the 1980s one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz, here on behalf of my co-host, Francisco Landine, to introduce this very special, weird, different kind of episode. This episode is a live show. This is a recording of one of two podcasts that we did at the Tucson Comic Convention. This one is about The Princess Bride, kind of celebrating its 30th year anniversary, doing a little recap and review and some, you know, our usual jokes and nonsense and dumb stuff. And I do want to warn you, though, we thought about not releasing this episode at all because the audio quality did not come out good. It's the opposite of that. It's bad. But there are some good jokes and stuff in here, and also due to some scheduling conflicts and stuff like that, we know that we've missed a week or two here, and we didn't want to miss another, so we figured might as well give you something. However, if you listen to it and you feel like skipping this one, I understand, but if not, you get some good, you know, dumb things about Andre the Giant and stuff, I guess. I don't know. Listen, find out. It's an adventure. And we should be back. Again, I am sorry for our missing some weeks here. We try not to do that. However, the last month has been just pretty crazy for us between the holidays and the live shows and some personal tragic circumstances. We've really had our plates full. But, you know, it's Thanksgiving time, and when you have a plate full, you just got to unbutton your top button, lower your jeans a little bit, and just, you know, stuff your face full of that food. Just gorge and gouge. Just stuff it all down deep in there, and then, you know, get sick and throw up all over your grandma's couch. And, you know, then grandma's obviously, she's not going to like throw up on her couch. I mean, who wants to throw up on her couch? I mean, I don't want to judge your grandma. Your grandma might like throw up on the couch, mine personally. But then, you know, you get into a fight, but then you warn that grandma that you know about her tax fraud, and you will turn her in if she says shit to you. So she better watch her grandma mouth. I love my grandma. She would never do any of that. And I would say I would never throw up on her couch, but we all know that's a lie. I drink far too much to make that promise. But we should be back next week with our regularly, and from here on, I think we should be back on schedule now to give you regular episodes of just our usual drunken, dumb nonsense. So our next regular episode will be Moonstruck. That should come out here this following Sunday or Monday. Until then, remember to email us at blockbusternostalgia@gmail.com and, you know, rate and subscribe. Maybe not rate this episode. Maybe if this is your first episode, definitely don't let this be your first episode. Go back a couple and listen to a regular one. But you know, we appreciate any positive feedback and shares on Facebook and all that sort of thing. Yeah, and join our Facebook if you haven't already. We always post new episodes, plus just, you know, funny whatever nonsense. But thanks and have a good journey.
Come, my love, I'll tell you a tale of a boy and girl and their love story, and how he loved her oh so much, and all the charms she did possess. Now this did happen once upon a time when things were not.
Hey everybody, welcome to our live panel. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landine. We run a podcast called Blockbuster Nostalgia, where we rate the highest grossing movies of the 1980s. Not necessarily the best movies of the 1980s, but the ones that made the most money. So we do cover a lot of crap in there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, including, what was the one that we really both hated?
Probably Benjamin. We both hated pretty hard. Yeah, that's one of the many. Staying Alive was another not so great movie, unless you like watching ballet for like an hour.
Which you do.
Which, yeah, obviously.
And
who doesn't want to see young John Travolta dance around in tights for an hour? Yeah, I don't everybody know. Wants that. I guess everybody. That's universal.
We did decide to cover Princess Bride because it is not on the list of top grossing movies.
Yeah, somehow this is one of those classic examples of a film that really found its audience after the fact in VHS release and reruns and I don't know, families sitting around the fire telling the tale of the time they saw Princess Bride and no one believes them.
Yeah, that's funny because arguably one of the best like love stories as far as film goes.
Yeah, one of the best fantasies, oh, for sure. Really great comedy all throughout.
It did pull in like $30 million when it came out, which is not terrible. In 1987, adjusted for inflation, that's like $400 billion now, I think.
I'm pretty sure that's how that works.
If we jump ahead 30 years, that's how much ticket sales have gone up and all that stuff.
Yeah. So
at this point, it would be like Avatar level, I think.
Yeah, for sure. So this should go without saying, but we're going to spoil the movie. So,
yeah.
You know.
If you guys have not seen it, then shame on you. That'd be funny if you just came to a panel to learn about it.
Yeah. Like, Princess Bride, you say.
Instead of watching, I don't want to hear two
I like
guys
princesses talking. And I like brides, so sounds like my kind of panel.
So I guess we start, well, we already talked.
Well, let's, I mean, everyone's seen the movie, right? Everyone loves the movie. We're going to talk, I mean, our usual form is we go over kind of everything in the movie and then talk about what's good and bad and what they should change. They really shouldn't change anything with this movie, but I do want to throw it to you guys and gals out there. Favorite characters?
All right, so we got, obviously, Wesley or Dread Pirate Roberts, was super awesome. Inigo Montoya was kind of a cool
guy. Okay.
Andre the Giant was my favorite, I think. Such a lovable giant guy. There's a lot of shots of his hand covering people's heads in that movie. It's like a bunch of bananas just wrapped around a face.
It is the kind of thing that you would usually see like a special effect for.
Yeah.
Where it's just that cannot be a human being's hand.
Yeah.
That's not how human beings work.
It's a bowl of sausages that just picks up stuff. Yeah. Wallace Shawn or Inconceivable. Obviously, he's amazing. I actually just call him that all the time because I always forget his name.
And it's like, you know, super high strung, Inconceivable.
Yeah, exactly. That guy. And I always try to do the voice, but I'm not. No. I'm not good at doing the voice. Even Chris Sarandon, who's the bad guy in it, who's Humperdinck, he's a great bad guy.
Yeah, he's really good.
He's a bad guy in Fright Night 2, and he's such a good, his great cowardice at the end is so perfect.
Yeah.
Never mind. But then you also have Peter Falk, who was
the Columbo, grandfather.
The grandfather. And the most adorable child actor of 1987.
Yeah.
Fred Savage. Yeah.
He had a run. Fred Savage had a huge run. Wonder Years, Wizard.
The Wizard, yeah.
Little Monsters.
I do feel like in The Wizard, he was overshadowed by Super Mario Brothers 3. Because
everyone was just like, what?
He's a raccoon and he flies?
I think he was overshadowed by the Power Glove, personally.
That's true. But when you played the Power Glove, it was terrible.
Oh, it's awful. Has anyone played the Power Glove? Anyone know? Do you know what that is? Yeah. It's awful.
Yeah,
it was the most exciting thing to get when you were like in first grade and your like neighbor got one. And you're like, oh my God, the Power Glove? And then you go over there and you're like, what is this? This
doesn't work at all. You were going to be able to punch air and then your character was going to punch the air. But it really
we thought it was going to be like a Kinect, basically, where you could just like act it out and things would happen. And that's not at all. How that works.
Yeah.
It's just basically awkwardly pushing buttons.
Yeah, but Fred Savage, he introduced us to the Power Glove.
Yeah, and the princess.
Yeah, the Princess Bride. I do have, all right, so the movie starts with, obviously, he's sick, and the grandfather comes in, and he tells him the story. He starts telling him the story.
Now, has anyone read the book? A few people? All right, quite a few people. All right, so you know, obviously, there's a whole other, like,
Prologue, introduction
to that story with William Goldman and being himself an actual Hollywood screenwriter and stuff, who ended up writing the screenplay as well. I think good choice not keeping it in.
Yeah, because he's just talking about like how his grandfather used to read to him, right? And
It gets the important part, which is that it's this like story passed down from like father to son and stuff like that.
My theory is that Peter Falk is making the whole thing up.
Yeah.
There's nothing in that book. It's just like an empty.
It's just pages. Yeah.
And he's like, the shrieking eels. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the ticket.
The fire swamp. Those things don't usually go together. Like, yeah, that's fantasy.
Sounds about right.
Fred Savage is just delirious from cough syrup and really taking it all in.
That makes sense why everything's like overplayed. Like the strong guy's not just a strong guy, he's a giant.
Yeah. And
the kiss isn't a kiss, it's the best kiss of all kisses that have ever been kissed.
Yeah. And I feel like that's nice of him.
Yeah. But then it's a nice grandfather.
Like, give me the story tomorrow, and he's like, yeah, I'll come back, and then he's gonna be like, I have no idea what I
told him. Comes back tomorrow, now they're in space. Yeah. No, it's the same story.
You remember there were space dragons. Yeah. Right? Space dragons, they're totally in there. Also, like the first line that he reads to me was really weird listening to it again, which was her like pastimes. Favorite pastimes were riding a horse and tormenting her farm boy.
Yeah, farmhand, right? That's how to get you on the side of your main character, is let you know right up front that she loves tormenting people.
Yeah. If I just heard
especially, that. Especially, yeah. She essentially has a slave that she loves to torment.
And then they fall in love, you know, romance.
Yeah, I mean, that's as it happens.
Yeah, as it happens. Eventually, as you wish, turns into, I love you and not, please don't beat me.
No, not the rod again, please.
But it doesn't, actually, and it goes straight into the love. Like, this is one of those movies where you don't have to see the love building up. It is straight into, and I think the music really sells that.
Yeah, for sure.
The music is like the most romantic music ever. So now we're in love with Wesley. I mean, from the beginning, Cary Elwes was like, I was in love with him.
Yeah, sure. He's extremely dashing.
Yeah. But even without the mustache.
Yeah.
Without the dread pirate mustache.
Nothing says dread pirate like a tiny mustache. That's a scary person right there.
Exactly.
Look at how small their mustache is.
One of the best things about it too is like we immediately get all the characters like in the first 8 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, it moves really fast. Rewatching it, I kind of forget how fast everything happens. So it does not take long before all of a sudden there's kidnappings going on and sword fights, and even from the time that they first like reunite and then he gets captured, it's only like 8 minutes later. Like, it's very fast.
Oh yeah, for sure. So right away we get the three circus performers who are amazing casting. Mandy Patinkin as Anil Montoya, obviously Wallace Shawn as Inconceivable, I'm gonna call him that.
Yeah,
again. And then Andre the Giant as Fezzik, right?
Yeah,
Fezzik. It should be noted that Schwarzenegger was originally considered for the Andre the Giant part way back in the 70s when they were just first trying to make the movie. But then by the time that they were making the movie, he was like, I'm way too expensive. Like, it's 1987.
Yeah.
I'm the biggest actor.
I don't know if you know, but yeah. I was in Conan the Barbarian.
And then Liam Neeson was also up for it. And, yeah.
And the director laughed because Liam Neeson, only 6 foot four.
He's like, that's not gigantic.
No.
That is a normal, like,
that
size.
That is completely a normal thing to be 6 foot four.
Normal person size. Get out of here, Liam Neeson.
Yeah, so Andre the Giant, officially listed at 7 foot four. Most reports is he wasn't quite that tall, especially after he had a lot of back problems, as you do when you're ginormous. And he kind of shrunk over the years, or so it is said. Legendary drinker, legendary, just nice dude.
Yeah, all around. He was supposed to be like the nicest. He'd call everybody boss.
Yeah.
On set and stuff. Even like stagehands or whatever. And he would drink like 14 bottles of vodka in one night. Like, he was known for just pounding drinks and eating like 12 steaks. Yeah, like he's actually, I feel like I'd respect him more for that than any other wrestling or the actor. I'm like, yeah, if I could do that, I would do that in a second. But we were talking about that too. Like, if you, knock on wood, if you remake this movie now, which we all pray that you don't, that they don't remake the movie, but they're going to
remake it eventually.
Yeah, like, who do you cast? Who do you cast as the Andre the Giant part? Who do you bring in? And for the other parts too, because I don't know, it's a weird, because they're like mid-20s, right?
Yeah.
So it'd have to be somebody like young and dashing and stuff for the main characters. But I think the side characters are so much easier to think about, like, casting.
Yeah, because they're older and you can put established, like, comedians and actors and stuff in those roles.
Yeah, because for Wallace Shawn, again, Inconceivable, we were talking about Danny DeVito would be perfect.
Yeah, Danny DeVito, who was considered for the original, actually. But it would still be perfect because Danny DeVito is perfect in all things.
Yeah. What do you guys think? Who would be good for the Inconceivable part?
Or does anyone have any, like, casting, like, dream castings for any of the parts? I was thinking maybe Shaq for Andre the Giant. just because he's a huge human being.
He's got
the and obviously voice. He has the acting chops from see such movies as Shazam or Shaq Fu. That was a rap album, not a movie. And a video game.
Shaq Fu. But, so he has the chops to do it.
Yeah, clearly. I mean, he was in a video game.
If I had to choose, I think, for Under the Giant, I would go with four children stacked on top of each other with a trench coat on.
Yes, that's actually perfect.
I think that would be my choice for the giant. And just gloves.
Yeah. Just the Hulk hands that you buy at Walmart. Yeah.
Just Hulk hands. They don't even open. Yeah. So he just has to punch everything.
Every time he's trying to gently touch somebody, it's just punch.
Yeah. Still makes a Hulk sound, you know, like. That would be my dream casting for Andre the Giant, because I can't think of anybody else.
That's pretty great.
But even for Inigo Montoya, I don't know who you would cast in that awesome, swashbuckling. You got somebody? Are you thinking of somebody?
That's the hard thing. Everyone I think about for all the roles, it's always they're 35 now. That's probably too old. Especially when you think about Wesley and Buttercup. It's hard to think of somebody that is young enough.
I haven't just watched the new Blade Runner. I just put all the actors from Blade Runner in it. I'm like, oh, well, clearly it should be Ryan Gosling and the girl that plays Joy.
Anna, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she would actually be really good. I liked her a lot in them. Has everyone seen Blade Runner? Anyone, the new Blade Runner? If not, you should see it. It's really good.
Yeah, it's really hard not to just talk about
Blade Runner. Just talk about it, yeah.
We did another podcast before, and we had a thing about Blade Runner for a little bit. And it was obviously the Stranger Things podcast, which goes hand in hand with Blade Runner.
Yeah, really. Nothing says Blade Runner like Stranger Things. And nothing says the search for the meaning of the soul and humanity like a bunch of kids fighting monsters and having a good time.
Yeah, Demogorgons and whatnot.
Yeah.
It should, for the original casting, too, Uma Thurman was up for Buttercup. Courtney Cox and Meg Ryan.
Yeah, Courtney Cox, of course, wisely passed on this to Masters of the Universe, clearly the superior film.
Oh, man.
So
the other great 80s fantasy movie
that we all think about in the same breath and same moment as...
The same level of love story.
Yeah, exactly. Between, the love story between Courtney Cox and that one dude.
He-Man?
No. It's the musician.
I don't like that movie, so I don't know what
the love story with He-Man was with He-Man and his sword. His sword, which sounds like it's dirty, but it's not.
He-Man and punching stuff?
Yeah.
That is a lot of love, actually. Just as much punching as he could fit in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so...
When you're that good at punching, you know. Do what you love, and you never work a day in your life.
Yeah, exactly. If you're good at punching stuff, just punch stuff. Nobody can stop you from doing that.
Yeah.
Rob Reiner was good at directing movies, so he directed
Which movies. Is crazy to think. People probably know Rob Reiner. Started as a sitcom actor comedian. His dad, famous comedian, producer, writer, ended up becoming a really good filmmaker.
Yeah, he had a crazy good run because during this Princess Bride time, it was Few Good Men, When Harry Met Sally, Stand By Me, Spinal Tap obviously was kind of his breakout part.
Yeah.
But then it kind of slows down a little bit. I don't know. As far as his movies, I think Princess Bride is still my favorite of his movies, especially out of all of those. Stand By Me is really solid.
Stand By Me is very good. Harry Met Sally, I think, is a good movie. Few Good Men, but yeah, I think you're right. Does anyone disagree, though? Is there any other of those films that you think, no, screw Princess Bride, that movie?
Yeah, you guys showed up to... Bad yeah. Princess Bride.
You guys all exactly. You guys all wanted to come talk about Jack Nicholson, right?
Yeah, I do like this crazy war plot that they came up with, which is if they kidnap the princess and then kill her and Gilder, right?
Yeah.
Then
it doesn't matter, but yeah.
Florin it's just a very evil plan. And at first, when I thought, when you first watched the movie, Wallace Shawn, I thought, oh, he came up with this awesome plan just to destroy two countries. And he's such a
just
little...
Just out of spite? Yeah. Just because he's so angry?
Yeah, and he really is. Jason Alexander would be good for that part, too.
Yeah, actually. Well, and I think when we were talking last night, I said Larry David.
Yeah.
And they're essentially the same person at this point, so... It's
just, Larry David doesn't yell as much, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did like that his whole plan was I'm going to destroy these two countries just because. And then later you find out Humperdinck is the one that put him up to it, right?
Yeah, it's that classic thing that our bad guy's not bad enough. Let's add additional bad things on them.
Yeah.
That's why you always get the classic kill the henchman.
Yeah, exactly.
Why do people follow these people? At a certain point, they're like...
There's a thing in every movie where the bad guy, like James Bond movies and all that, the bad guy will kill one of his henchmen.
Everyone's like, oh, yeah.
Everybody's like,
but the benefits, though. Yeah. Just cannot beat this healthcare.
Bonds, I would be like, I don't know. He's shooting people in the face, man. I'm out. Like, I can't. I don't know how much he was paying you, but to me, it's not enough. I got to like kidnap James Bond and stuff, and that's hard enough. And now if I don't do it right, he shoots me in the face.
Yeah.
But no, the henchmen, they're there.
High pressure. It's, you know, a lot of respect for those people.
They're committed to the job, I think. That's good work.
Work ethic.
Work ethic and henchmen.
That's kind of American values we've lost in the year 2017.
And in Princess Bride, you get the best work ethic, I think, from Andre the Giant, because he does anything that he tells him to do. And he's yelling. There's a part when he's climbing up the rope, and Wallace Shawn's yelling square in his face. And he's just like, well, I'm trying really hard, boss. Like, I don't know. And he's like,
carrying four people over here.
Yeah, I'm carrying people. He's gaining on you. And he's like yelling right in his face.
And the wide shots of that are so great because they are moving so fast up that rope. It is insane.
He's just like, no leg work.
No leg, all arms. There's flying where, like, up the rope.
Both his arms are not touching the rope anymore. And we're like, I buy that.
It's like slow motion cheetah. I'm just like, come on.
Yeah. But then not as fast as girl Wesley.
Yeah.
Who moves up, climbs up to arguably the best sword fight. It's pretty high up there. Because we were trying to think, other than, you know, giving it to like some Star Wars, but Star Wars didn't really have great sword fights till the newer ones.
And the new ones are meaningless, so I don't think they even count. Yeah. So,
but in the original ones, it's actually really.
Do you want to see two characters you don't care about fight
and jump around?
I guess. I don't know.
I care about Yoda.
Yeah, sure.
But that's it, though.
Yeah, and that is the only one.
That Muppet has my heart.
Yeah, it's not even a Muppet anymore, though. They've taken everything away from us.
Everything ruined. Childhood ruined.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, I mean, other than that, though, like, that fight is so witty and funny and perfectly, like, choreographed. And then it's the actual two actors. There's not a lot of that. I guess the only stunt is when he flips over. He does that big flip. That's the only stunt double part. Yeah. Everything else is them. And it is so well done.
I think you mentioned one of the other keys. Like, not only is the sword work really good and fun, you know, the actual fencing, but there's, like you said, there's actual character beats and there's comedy in it and there's, you know, little moments. And even before that, like the fact that they have Inigo Montoya have the whole sequence where, you know, he's getting super impatient and then he ends up lowering the rope and he has to, you know, swear on his father's sword and everything before he'll trust him.
Like, we won't trust Spaniards because nobody trusts Spaniards. Yeah. Universally hated, man. go back to any period movie like that. Spaniards are always bad guys. They're universally hated people. Like, I don't know. I mean, I know what they did.
Yeah. I know there was a lot of battles between them and especially the English, which is where most of these stories are coming from.
So
Oh, from Star Wars? Yeah. I thought about him as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Hey, he's at the right age, I think. Yeah. He's maybe not. Well, he's pretty charismatic.
Yeah, he's definitely pretty charismatic, I'd say.
What's that? Oh, yeah. 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 That's right. I forgot about that. I'm the one that saw that movie. Do you guys ever see Vampires Los Muertos? Don't, actually. Don't. You can't. Yeah, no, there's a great charm in terrible movies, man. I love that stuff. Sometimes I think about, like, there's movies that I remember being so good when I was younger, and then I see them now, and I was like, wow, they're garbage. Like, this is not.
I don't know what you're talking about. Now, speaking of Masters of the Universe, which is a great movie, I don't know why anyone would say otherwise.
I always bring it up because it's one of those movies that I really, really liked as a little kid. Hell Comes to Frogtown. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of that. Roddy Piper's other movie, where he fights frog people in it. And when I was a kid, because it was very Mad Max-y and I was super into Mad Max, I was like, I want to see that movie. He's fighting frog people. There's a frog strip club at one point and stuff. And as a kid, I was so... And then I went back, I bought it, I saw it, and it is so terrible. Yeah, I was just like, this is so terrible. I still watch the whole thing. I kept it, too. I still own it. But every time I pass it by, I'm like, ah, you're terrible.
But can't get rid of it, though.
Yeah, no, we'll not get rid of it. There's definitely a charm. But now you learned something. Hell Comes to Frogtown. Look it up. Google it. It's a real movie. These are just not just like the ramblings of a madman up here. That's a real movie.
Well, they're that, too.
Yeah. Actually, both. So then... one, Wesley starts taking
them
out.
Yeah, so he takes them all out. Yeah, and so again, that Swordfight great, Bob Anderson, one of the swordmasters on the film, also went on to work on Lord of the Rings, worked on Star Wars, worked on a lot of things. Pretty amazing career if you look him up. Like 30, 40 years of being in some of the best movies of all time behind the scenes. So.
And to, again, give it away to being the best henchman ever, Andre the Giant is like, how do I use your way? Well, what's my way? You wait for him and you hit him with the rock. And then he's like, my way is not very sportsmanlike. And he still like gives him a shot and he takes him out, man. Like he jumps on his back and he chokes him out.
Which would never happen.
No.
There is a no chance that fight actually goes down that way.
Yeah. It's like, where did I hear that they're talking about the original Batman and like Bruce Lee cameos in it? And they're like, now Batman's going to capture you. And Bruce Lee's like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, there was a whole thing where Robin was supposed to beat him and he was like, no.
Yeah.
No.
No, there's no way. He's just one inch punch him 4 feet back through the wall. But yeah, so, but he takes him out. And it's actually a really, really good scene because they're talking the whole time.
Again, building character, having beats and comedy and actual, like, dramatic beats in the fight. Again, something the prequels just refuse to do.
But then we go straight into one of the greatest battle wits in film.
Yeah.
Because it's so dang funny.
Yeah, and it's all Wallace Shawn just freaking out the whole time, which is great.
Yeah, and he does the poison, the made up poison that he doesn't know which cup he put it in, and then he has that great line, which I always loved, and I always never knew what it meant, which is you fell for one of the biggest war blunders. Number one is never get caught in a land war in Asia, and I was like, what? Like, since when is that number one? Number two, actually, to be fair, number two is never go up against a Sicilian.
Which I don't think that I've ever heard of either.
Neither of those. Again, that's Peter Falk just making it up as he's reading it.
It's like, no, I knew a Sicilian once. He's a real, real crazy guy. So.
Yeah, and then one of the best deaths in the movie, which is a laugh, dead. Yeah.
There's so much good physical humor. Everyone has, I feel like everyone in the movie has at least one moment of just that, like, free fall out of frame, limp. Sure.
And it's also...
That's funny every time.
All of that we've just gone over happens in like the first 20 minutes of the movie. Like the movie goes by so fast. Because then right after that is he takes her, they go into the fire swamp, they fight giant rats.
Yeah, which rodents is cool. Of unusual size.
Yeah, giant rodents, which is cool because especially watching it now, it's clearly a little guy.
in a big suit.
Yeah. It's clearly a little guy like running and jumping up and... And or a big foam one that they throw at him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a great, again, sound effect sells that because if not, if you see it without the sound, it's just like a big foam rat hits him in the face. And he falls down and he fights a little guy in a suit. Which there's a story, by the way, that I read that one of those guys was late to a production because he'd gotten a DUI the night before. And he had spent, and they didn't believe him that he was like an actor and he was going to play a rat and stuff.
And like, why would you not believe that? Yeah. Like, no, I'm a real actor. What are you playing? A giant rat.
It's a real thing. We're going out into the woods and shooting this. Yeah. Sure thing, buddy. But commitment, he showed up after a DUI and still fought Cary Elwes.
That's impressive.
In a battle to the death, which he loses and he gets caught on fire.
Yeah.
And then, during this too, like we get also how awesome Humperdinck is.
Oh, the tracking.
Yeah, with the tracking, which is the only time that Humperdinck is really, really awesome. And that's knowing everything that exactly as they did it and reenacting it himself.
Yeah. Well, and it's the one time that you get to see some competence from him and some like, I don't know, making him more intimidating as a villain. That's what a problem a lot of movies fall into is if all your villains are like just bumbling idiots, why are you supposed to be afraid of them?
Yeah, no, and he's definitely a force to be reckoned with in that scene.
Yeah.
So and then he tracks him all the way there. He tracks him all the way there. They capture him. She pleads for his life. So he's like, yeah, we'll save him. And then tells the
immediate lie.
Yeah. Don't. we're going to kill him. And then we go into that crazy torture scene. Up to 50, right, is what they do.
Traumatizing. Oh, okay.
Yeah. That big rat, and then like bites his shoulder really hard.
Yeah.
And it's actually a really good fight scene. When we were watching last night, I was like, this fight scene goes way longer than I thought it would. And he's like rolling around and she's like trying to hit it with a stick. And
there's some nice bites. I like that they get a few bites in. He gets the shoulder really good.
Yeah, he gets the forearm too.
Forearm. That always did look really painful.
The little torturing dude used to traumatize me.
The albino?
The albino? Yeah. That guy is so, and they gave him like yellow eyes.
Yeah,
right?
I think so. He has like the great eyes. Bit when he comes in speaking all weird and then clears his throat.
Yeah, he talks normal.
Anyway.
That's a good old-fashioned bit.
It's interesting that you were traumatized by that. I was found, even as a kid, I was like, how? How? Like, you know, you're used to, like, there's no knives, there's no nothing's going on, there's just, like, yeah, just plastic cups attached to him.
No, it's a big, he's got the big head with the nose.
Yeah. No, like the machine I meant.
Oh, okay.
Not the albino, but this is a machine. I never understood what it's supposed to be doing. I was like, all right, get the waters coming down.
And yeah. Well, they're like electrocuting him or something?
No, they're stealing his life. Yeah.
That's right. Sorry. Yeah, they're stealing his life. That's how you do it, I think, right? We can recreate that machine and then just go around.
I mean, I'm not a scientist, but I think there might be a few problems with that.
I am, and I'm telling you that it's sound. It's
all right, well,
science.
If science says so.
Cups, water spinning.
All right, I'm going to post it on Facebook now. Now it's a fact.
Water spinning steals your life essence. But then they bump it up to 50 when she finds out that she's still in love with him, right?
Right, right.
And kill him, which, again, rightly so. Fred Savage is like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, don't feed it. Don't say you killed him. Clearly you didn't kill him.
Which, again, going back to our theory, it makes me wonder if that originally, like, the grandfather was like, tired. He's like, I got to go get a sandwich. Oh, he's dead now.
Yeah.
And Fred Savage freaks out, and he's like,
So anyway, that's how he died.
Right, fine.
And okay, so anyway.
He's only mostly dead.
And I guess the other guys are alive, too, now. And then they bring him back. And it's one of the best scenes, and apparently to the best scene to shoot when you read up on it, the Billy Crystal and Carol Kane scene. Was it Miracle Max?
Yes.
Miracle Max, Billy Crystal in full makeup, which also in 1987, that's like peak Billy Crystal. And for him to go in there full makeup and just do... just
like 2 minutes, 3 minutes?
A comedy.
Yeah.
And Carol Kane, too, and the when he calls her a witch, and she comes in, liar, and be quiet, witch. I'm not a witch. I'm your wife. To Blave.
Yeah, which we all know.
To Blave means to bluff, which means probably playing cards.
Yeah.
And they give him that weird little chocolate-covered...
The pill.
The pill to bring him back. And also, again, one of the greatest things in the charm of this movie is instead of just bringing him back, instead of like, oh, cool, he just came back, he has to like slowly come back.
Yeah.
So he's just like a dummy. For
Again, that great physical comedy of him just limp, just being dragged along.
Yeah.
Flopping his head back and forth.
Yeah, and Andre the Giant having to like pick him up with one hand.
Yeah.
Again, his head. And then just putting him on his back and stuff. I like that too. Like they have such respect for him. Inigo Montoya is drunk. And he's like, well, I'm a really good like sword person.
Like yeah, that's what that word is.
Yeah. I'm a really good sword person, is what he actually says. And then you're a big, really big guy person,
what
he says as well. But we need this guy that beat us both to be able to do this. So it's funny that they go on this other quest to find this guy.
Yeah.
That beat them both. Like basically, he was the bad guy earlier for them.
Again, the film just moving so fast. So like instantaneously, like, nope, we need this guy. New quest.
Yeah. Now let's bring this guy back, and they bring him back to life, and then he totally does come up with a plan.
Yeah, in the best way, where he's like, no way. If only we had a wheelbarrow.
It's like, hey, we had a wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
If only we had a cloak.
Solved.
Yeah. Andre the Giant pulls a big cloak out of his chest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you get another terrible special effect where clearly it's a mannequin.
It's an interesting
plan.
That
they light on fire.
Because his plan, when you think about it, is there are 60 men out there in the front. We have to scare those men. So, Andre, you're going to get on the wheelbarrow, and we're going to light you on fire. He's like, all right, I'll do that.
Yeah.
Again, best henchman ever.
Yeah. All right, boss.
Yeah. So that's like they're just pushing him forward, and he's just like, I'm the Dread Pirate Roberts. So at that point, he's like 9 feet tall, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then everybody.
Yeah, I guess if you're one of the 60 men, you're like, all right, that's a big guy. Kind of scary a little bit. But there's still 60 of us. Oh, he's the Dread Pirate Roberts. All right, that's not great. He's killed a lot of people from what I hear.
But there's still
60 of us. Oh, he's on fire.
I feel like we could just sit here and watch the fire burn.
We could just wait, I think. But
nope, run away.
Yeah.
I do think if I was in a big group thing and a gigantic thing would come at me, the first thing I would do is just like lances, like old school mammoth killing thing, yeah. You know? And then I'd be like, no, guys, come on, together. I'd probably be the first one eaten, too.
You're just rushing in. No, we got this! Smash.
I'm the guy that's like,
Francisco eaten by a dragon.
I swear 2 seconds totally into the battle. And just head comes clean off.
Yeah.
And that's when everybody runs away.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, but they light this big dummy on fire, and the actual effect it's like a scarecrow.
Yeah, it's pretty clearly not
him. It doesn't
even
look like a person. Like, the shoulders are super pointy out.
Yeah.
They just build a big cross and then lit it on fire, and with the big cloak on it. But yeah, no, it works. Everybody runs away, and then they're in the castle, ready to kick some butt, which they do.
Which they do. Immediately, Inigo Montoya kills like 4 dudes, runs after the six-fingered man.
Which we polished over a little bit, but he did have to fight a six-fingered person.
Yes, yes. His whole revenge story. Six-fingered man killed his father. What are you going to do?
One of the most charming things in this movie, that revenge story. And I think that's my favorite story. The story about his dad getting killed by a six-fingered man. And then he cuts his cheek to just remind them that he lost the sword fight with him.
Another great villain move.
Yeah, to just mark him.
Yeah.
And leave him.
No reason to. Like, he's not gonna forget, but.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like he was gonna forget that time that guy killed his dad.
Exactly. It's like, what was I remember being 10. What happened that year? I fought some guy. I just can't remember.
I can't remember. How did your dad die? I don't know. I think he drowned. No, wait. Killed.
Yeah.
Slaughtered by a guy with the sword. That's right. That then beat me up. No, but he marks him up, so he has those cool marks the whole time. And then when he finally finds him, he gets stabbed square in the stomach right away. And one of the most heartbreaking scenes, because for a minute, he's like, I'm sorry, Father, I failed you, and he's bleeding out. And then he cuts him through, like, he puts the sword through his shoulder. So again...
But that's as he's starting to, like, you know, get his strength back, starts blocking him.
Yeah, and then through sheer tyranny of will for revenge, gets up and...
So let that be a lesson to everybody. If you really want to accomplish something, just hate. Hate so much.
just build your hate until you can use that to become, you know, whatever you need to become.
Yeah, CEO. To kill a man with a sword.
Which is what we're
all about. Which is how you become CEO.
You can't just like work in school and do all that stuff. No.
Business school, that all it is fencing classes.
It's something they don't teach you in business class. You should Google it. It's a real thing. I'm not the ramblings of a madman up here. One by one, you have to kill each other with swords.
Real quick, though, before we go into the finale, I did want to mention our sponsors. We have two sponsors for every podcast, and that have also provided us with this lovely thing that we're going to be giving away here in a few minutes. First off is People's Choice Video. If you don't already know, here in Tucson, there is a video store down on Valencia and 6th that buy, sell, rent games, movies, all kinds of great stuff.
90s, typical 90s video store, still looks like 90s video store, still smells like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go check it out. Toys, apparel, a lot of cool collectibles and stuff like that they sell as well.
Yeah. So go check it out if you're on the South Side. It's a great place. Also, she couldn't be here, but a special thanks to Beer Geek Bakery. If you like the idea of delicious pastries made with local craft beer, you should follow Beer Geek on Instagram and Facebook and find out about the events that happen, every 2 weeks, every month at least.
Yeah, and so. If you do listen to our podcast, she's on there quite regularly.
Yes.
She's like the third person. And gives the female perspective, because we don't do that.
Just very misogynistic. We're terrible.
Yeah,
terrible
we're
human
very,
beings.
Very terrible people. But yeah, so those are our sponsors before we get to... Also, in that fight scene, you get like the only real cuss word in it.
That's right.
You call him a son of a... bitch.
there was
a kid here, but he's like, I don't want to offend anybody. But yeah, he totally calls him a son of a bitch, which is cool. Which it was one of the things when I was a kid, I was like, whoa, yeah, I'm not supposed to hear that. Like, that's so cool. And it's funny now because, like, that's such a tame word.
Yeah, right.
Especially like that insult.
Especially when a man's killed your father.
Yeah, no, he could have called him. In the book, I guess, he like is way more graphic. Like, he cuts his heart out.
Cuts his heart out.
Yeah. Which would have been cool if it just if the movie just took that
just all
turn.
Of a sudden hard R rating.
Yeah, like why is this movie rated R? It's so oh my god. He's digging out his heart with
just breathing in his blood, yeah. Eating his heart.
I get it, I get why he did it, but oh my god. I did not have to see that for 12 minutes.
It's the 3-hour cut of the movie.
I don't know. I want to know what's happening with everybody else. I don't want to know about this heart eating thing anymore. So much. But then we get to the great another battle of wits, like the second battle of wits. I feel is him psyching him out, one of the greatest psych outs in movies. Yeah, and he tells him like, "Let's fight! Come on, let's get on with it."
And even before that, I love the physical comedy moment where when she runs over to the bed and starts kissing him, and he's just kissing straight up because he can't move.
Also, the only time that Fred Savage doesn't stop the whole movie for the kissing.
Because
every other time he's like, whoa, Grandpa, come on, man. Like, kissing? I'm a 10-year-old boy.
Yeah. Let's get to the sports.
Let's get to the baseball and the space robots. Like, all the other stories you made up. But, yeah, that's the only time, though, when she jumps on top of him because you don't stop the movie for that. That's good on Fred Savage. I think he's so into it.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know how he described that. Like, then she jumped on him and kissed him all over his face. But then Humperdinck comes in with a sword ready to the death, right?
Yeah,
His thing, to the death. And he's like, not to the death, to the pain.
Right, one of the great monologues as he describes all of the terrible, wonderful things he's going to do to him.
He's going to cut his eyes out. Yeah. He's going to cut his ears and then my tongue. Ears I get leaves, it. Let's get on with it. And then my ears, all right. No, your ears you keep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that he can be tortured by everybody's screams at the sight of him.
And then the only movie that the climax of the movie is a man standing up from bed. Yeah. Like, oh my God, he stood up.
Yeah, and the music like swells.
Yeah.
And it is really cool, but that is a climax of the film.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty amazing.
And then he's like, all right, that's it, I'm out.
Yeah.
And then time out. Yeah, great climax, actually. He killed a man with his words. Not killed him, but stopped him.
Yeah, stopped him, yeah. Let that be a lesson to teach all of the kids out there. You can use words. You don't have to use violence.
Use your word. Use your threats.
Use your threats.
Yeah.
Don't use just violence. Threaten to cut people's eyes out.
Just nonstop threaten. That's how you.
And at least 9 out of 10 times, you won't have to do it. Now, one of those times, you're going to have to cut some eyes out. Otherwise, the threats just lose meaning.
So bring a knife.
Yeah, bring a knife.
Or dagger. Or
start with threats.
Just in case you have to. Yeah,
doll spoon.
I'd be like, oh, this is a one time. Let's do it. It's like when Homer is like,
just the first time. I feel like if you do it the first time, then everyone else knows. No, that guy will cut your eyes out.
As
like,
in shooting one of your henchmen in the face.
Yeah, that's true.
See, maybe now we're getting it.
Yeah. Prison rules.
Yeah, exactly. Prison rules. But other than that, I mean, what else? You don't need anything other than just the standing up and the threatening.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty. And then
you already know, like, if it was an actual sword fight, he would win because we've already seen him beat like the greatest swordsman alive. So
yeah, and he's dying. So really, the one person that has the wherewithal to come in and just destroy Humperdinck is Andre the Giant, and he's gone.
Yeah, he's busy just getting horses.
He went to go get horses, which is such an awesome. He is really. That's why.
But I feel like he didn't even go get horses. It's more like, again, going back to the grandpa. The grandpa's just like, oh, how do they get away? They have horses now. Yeah.
And it goes. He's like that goes back to my casting of four children stacked on top of each other because that's such a little kid thing to do. He just like wandered off, followed a butterfly,
and then found like, horses.
Four horses. There's four of us. Yeah, come on. Those things go together, and then he just shows up with them. But yeah, and then he could have actually destroyed the six-fingered man. He could have killed him. Humperdinck he could have killed, for sure. But nope. Off horses. To go get horses. Yeah. And saves the day.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
The greatest hero for coming back with four horses.
Rides away. Clearly not him on the horse, because he was far, far too large.
Yeah, there's a story about them having to... There was another shot where you could see them all on horses. And they had to build this giant rig that they had to like lower him down like a
Yeah, he was on like cables and stuff to try and get him on the horse.
Like a moose out of a forest fire. Yeah. Just like dangling. To lure him onto this fake rig that went around a horse to make it look like he was on the horse, but he really wasn't. Because it was like 600 pounds or something.
Yeah, he was very large by that point in his life.
So if you watch the movie, it's just a guy with like a fake Andre the Giant head and shoulders on top of him. Yeah. Just over, yeah. Riding off on this horse. Which again, when I was a kid, I was like, nope, that's Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
That is him. He's riding that horse. He's fighting Hulk Hogan and riding horses. So and on the podcast, usually when we get to this point, we talk a little bit about, you know, do we like it? Obviously, we love it.
Yeah.
Or else we wouldn't be doing it. It was one of the ones we chose it because we love it so much. But also recommendations. We recommend a movie that we think you would like if you like this movie. And it could be anything. Even we've recommended video games before.
Yeah.
Anything that has any type of theme, even the same actors, whatever. So
I'll start real quick. And has anyone seen the Errol Flynn Robin Hood? Okay, a couple people. Awesome. So it's great. It's my favorite version of Robin Hood. If you like swashbuckling, it has some of the best sword fights. We talked about, you know, the fight earlier in this film, but yeah, the fights in Robin Hood and in all the old Errol Flynn films are pretty phenomenal. And like basically Cary Elwes in this movie is playing not Robin Hood, but Errol Flynn, rather. If you just want like a fun hour and a half of swashbuckling and fighting evil, it's pretty great.
Yeah, that's a good recommendation. I just based on the Inigo Montoya like revenge plot, I'm gonna go Once Upon a Time in the West, and I don't know if you guys have ever seen that. It's a western with Charles Bronson's brother. Well, he shows up and he's just on this quest to do this revenge, and it's the same level I think of like commitment.
Single-mindedness
to destroy this evil guy. But that's my recommendation. It's also one of the best westerns ever made.
So. Yeah, it's very good.
Do you guys are there any movies that you guys associate with Princess Bride? There are obvious ones like Willow, I think.
Yeah, Willow. I mean, there's the like mid-80s fantasy run like Willow and Labyrinth and Neverending Story.
Because that's one of the fights that they always talk about, like Matt Mardigan against Inigo Montoya.
Ooh, like who would that's win good. In that fight? Who do you think would win in that fight? Who's it? Let's see the show of hand. Everyone's seen Willow, right? Willow? Okay. So Val Kilmer, a.k.a. Mad Mardigan. Let's see hands. Who thinks he would win?
Inigo Montoya's?
Me.
All Inigo Montoya's?
Wow.
Wow, yeah.
Mad Mardigan is the greatest swordsman that ever lived. I don't know if you know this. He says it about 20 times in the movie.
He says it a lot in the movie. He does. He does say it a lot.
If somebody says something, then
I don't think he ever really does a lot of swordsmen.
No, he's pretty great.
He's pretty good, but not at the level of Inigo Montoya good.
Maybe not. Maybe not. I don't know. That's hard for me not to pick Mad Mardigan. That's my dude.
Yeah. But all right. Nobody else has any suggestions?
No, but any general recommendations? Is there any other movies that anyone here thinks of as being like if somebody came to you and was like, oh, I just saw Princess Bride for the first time. I loved it. Is there any other movie you'd be like, oh, you have to see this now?
Yeah, which Princess Bride again. Good job. Watch it again. Also, we didn't talk about the kisses. That was a thing.
Oh, yeah. It says it's one of the five best kisses, right?
No, it's the best.
Best kiss.
He tells him of all the... First, he stops.
That's right.
He's like, oh, you don't want to hear about this. It's a kiss. And he's like, no, Grandpa.
No, I just said puberty. Go on.
I think, yeah, exactly. Now I like girls. So let's talk about that kiss. Yeah, of all the kisses that were rated the best, there were five that were rated the best. That's I don't know right. by what rating.
Yeah, what kissing board of America is putting together this official list?
Well, it's, yeah.
Congressional hearings.
But that one blows them all out of the water.
Yeah.
No, there's, I can't even think of better, there's better kisses. I would give it to, Give Me Some Sugar, Baby, Ash in
Army of Darkness.
In Army of Darkness, yeah.
Pretty good.
That's a pretty good kiss. Yeah, that's it. That's the only kiss I can think of in film.
Yeah. I always like the Spider-Man kiss.
The upside down.
Just because it's so
in the rain.
Unique. Yeah.
That is pretty good.
Yeah. But it doesn't have, I don't think, the weight that this one has. How about anyone in the audience? Any kisses that span, that really prove the test of time?
Every girl that James Bond kisses ever.
Yeah,
of course. 400 of them.
400 of them.
No, I think.
I guess what is this the best romance of all time? Then is that what we've basically established? If this is the best kiss of all time,
yeah,
then it would go to reason.
You establish that it's the best romance of all time. Definitely one of the best romantic movies of all time. But
yeah, I think it is. I don't think no one seems to disagree. So. Yeah.
All right, so that's the end of our show for tonight. We are going to...
Yeah, let's do the raffle real quick. Just because I think it's interesting and it's crazy, we were looking up who the tallest people ever were, because Andre the Giant, obviously, like, made us start thinking about that. There was a guy back in the, like, 30s that was over 8'11". That there's tons of like footage and like pictures and stuff of him. Robert Wadler? It's the most insane. What was his name again?
Robert Wadler, I think.
Robert Wadler. Look this dude up. It is maybe the most insane thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, yeah, he died at 22 because people like that just don't live that long. Yeah, like, yeah, he's basically 9 feet tall. Like, there's pictures of him at 10 years old and he's taller than his father. Like, people are coming up to his waist. It's pretty insane. Look that up.
All right.
So we do. Yeah, let's go ahead and do the raffle. So everyone look at your tickets.
Okay. It is going to be ticket ending in 790. Did you win it? No?
79?
Did somebody had it. Somebody left. The whole point was to not leave.
Wow.
I do have one set aside for you, by the way. Because I know you showed up late and you didn't get a ticket, but I have one set aside for you. Okay. Let's go with ticket ending in... 97. Yay! All right.
Come on up and get your prize.
Princess Brideopoly. Thanks for coming by, guys, again.
Yeah, so we have some bit like some flyers and stuff like that with our podcast and also the video store. Again, it's Blockbuster Nostalgia. We're on iTunes and Podomatic and Facebook and all that stuff. We've done like about 45 episodes or so. And just a quick warning, though, the episodes are unrated, so we tend to curse and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, we curse a whole bunch.
Yeah, we curse a whole lot.
So,
but hey, thanks for coming, and I hope you had a great convention and continue to do so.
Yeah, you guys have a great con.
Take care.
Thanks. On his stallion they rode away. My love is like a storybook.